भूर्भुवस्वः तत्सवितुर्वरेण्यम् भर्गो देवस्य धीमहि धियो यो न प्रचोदयात्। शांति शांति शांति।
It was 1975, the 50th birthday of Bhagwan. The ashram was preparing for this mega event. In various ways, the Sarvadharma Stupa was being constructed, 50 feet, emblem of unity of religions. The South Indian canteen was being extended. The Purnachandra Auditorium was having a makeover. In various parts of the ashram, there was a flurry of activities. Mr. K.B.R. Prasad, a faculty member from the Department of Aeronautics, Indian Institute of Science, was coming to Prashanthi Nilayam for the first time. Everything happening in Prashanthi, the Gopuram was being constructed same time. Now he came from a very remote village, Andhra Pradesh, Krishna district. He didn't know who is Bhagwan Sri Satya Sai Baba. He was the only child in the family who had done a master's, came from an agricultural family. By divine grace, he was working in one of the premier institutions, Indian Institute of Science. And one day a villager came from his town and said, "I want to see Baba. Can you take me to Vrindavan, Swami's ashram in Bengaluru?" So to help him, he went to Vrindavan. The summer course in Indian culture and spirituality was going on. In those days, there was a pandal that was erected. Bhagwan would speak every day and it would go on for 30 days. Lovely discourses. Every summer course had a theme. Ramayana, Bhagavatam, Bhajagovindam. The first day when Mr. Prasad sat on the periphery of the pandal and he heard Bhagwan's discourse, the eloquence of Bhagwan, the profundity of wisdom, and given that he understood Telugu, the seamless manner in which such profound tenets of life were being explained really captured him. And what really struck a chord in his heart was the emphasis that Swami was giving to service. Swami said, "Seva and Prema are like the two eyes of every being. You are born to serve. You can experience bliss only when you serve. You are here only so that you can be useful to society." And everything was like hitting him. And he said, "I have to come again. I have to discover who this person is." And he came the next day. He came the third day. On the fourth or fifth day, suddenly he was sitting in the periphery and it suddenly started to rain. There was little drizzle and Swami announced on the mic, "All those who are sitting in the periphery, please come over. Please come over." And all of them, Swami said, "No, no, no, don't sit behind. Don't adjust there. Come right to the front." So all those people who were sitting in the edges of the pandal came right, they were almost sitting under Bhagwan's nose, right in the front. And now he was mesmerized, looking at Bhagwan's form and seeing this torrent of wisdom. He subscribed to Sanatan Sarathi and he said, "I have to become part of this organization." He found out about the Satya Sai movement. He went to the convener of the Satya Sai Samiti and he said, "I want to enroll as a Sevadal." And Professor S. Radhakrishna, who was the convener of the Samiti, said, "Ah, you've come. Swami had told me two persons from your institute will become part of the Sevadal. You're the first one." "What? Swami had told? The first time I'm coming?" He said, "Don't worry." And Radhakrishna was in the same department where A.B.R. Prasad sir was working. So he said, "Doesn't matter. We are going to Puttaparthi for birthday seva. Do you want to come? Have you seen Baba? I said, no, I want to come. Okay, come along. So he lands up in Prashanthi Nilayam and figuring out how we can contribute, because that whole aspect of seva had really gone in deep. And he was looking for opportunities, and someone comes to him and says, there is work going on in the Purnachandra auditorium. All the green rooms in the Purnachandra auditorium are being revamped. There is wallpaper to be put in these three rooms. Would you like to assist in this? He said, yes, sure. What can I do? So you have to go to Bangalore and you have to go to the shop and look for wallpapers. This is the quantity you have to get. These are the designs. And you have to get the people who will do this job at the earliest. He said, okay, I will go to Bangalore. So he looks for the shop and meets this shop owner. And he says, you know, Bhagwan Baba's birthday is happening and we have to do this. He says, okay, so what? You know what? You have to give me these wallpapers. And if, you know, some workers can come to do this work in Baba's house. And that man says, you know what, it takes time and all the workers are busy. It will take at least 3 days for them to finish their prior commitment. So we can talk about it only after 3 days. You know, please, I cannot do anything right now. And he's pleading, you know, it's very important. It is Bhagwan, Shri Satya Sai Baba. But the owner does not really pay much attention. Suddenly he gets a phone call. It was from Mumbai. His uncle was speaking. And in 2 minutes, he cut the call and he said, for what you wanted? No, I wanted for Bhagwan Shri Satya Sai Baba. Okay, you can take whatever you wanted. How many rolls you want? 20, okay, 20 rolls. And what designs you want? And so he says, I want these 4 sets. So each set has 5 rolls of the same design, same color. So 5 into 4, 20 rolls. And if you can send the workers, yeah, my workers will go. How many workers you need? Okay, 3 workers. Apparently, his uncle was a Sai devotee and it just happened at the same time he calls and he says, do anything that Baba wants. What are you doing? So immediately the workers come and the 3 workers are in the vehicle on the way to Puttaparthi. They have heard about Baba. They don't know much about Puttaparthi. Mr. Prasad is overhearing the conversation that these workers are having. They start to speak in Telugu and so Mr. Prasad says, oh, so you know Telugu? Says, no, yeah, I know Telugu, but you know, this person, he worked in Tirupati, so he is familiar. And this other person, he's a Maharashtrian, so he knows Marathi. And then they start talking about Baba. One of the workers says, you know, I heard about this Baba. You know, this Baba, he likes only the rich and the influential. You know, he will do things. He will go to the houses of the people who are prosperous and influential politicians. He doesn't care about all these low people and common people like us. He will not talk to us. You know, we'll just go finish the work and just come back. We have work to do here. Prasad didn't like the way they were talking about Swami, even though he was just being introduced to Swami. But whatever he had heard about Bhagwan and the discourses that he had heard, he didn't really like the conversation. But he thought, you know, why to argue with these workers? So they come to Prashanthi Nilayam and they place the rolls. Next to the Purnachandra auditorium, the stupa construction is going on. Bhagwan comes there. Swami is overseeing the stupa work. And then Swami turns this side. So he looks at these workers and he sees Mr. Prasad. And Swami says, okay, so you have brought the rolls. Okay, so let me look at the rolls. And then Swami says, this one is good for the first room. Have this for the first room. Have this design for the second room. And then Swami looks at the third. This one you have it for the bathrooms. This one is good for the ceiling. You have it for the ceiling. But then I think Swami says you don't have enough sufficient quantity of this. No, it is not available in Bangalore also. You have to get it from Chennai. And then he looks at the workers. And he looks at one of them and he asks, how are you? Did you have rest? How was the journey? He starts talking to the workers in Telugu. Then he looks at another worker. And he talks to him in Tamil. He looks at the third worker. He talks to him in Marathi. And then Swami says, all of you are tired. You first go and have your food. You take your rest. You can do the work later. Don't worry about the work. That'll happen. Just go and have food and take rest first. The workers are bit taken aback. They're talking to themselves as they're walking. How did he know that I speak Telugu? Hey, how did he know that I speak Marathi? He spoke to me in Tamil and he spoke with so much love. He actually spoke to us. It's interesting. But the problem of Prasad was different. Now he's thinking, when I went to Bangalore, they had given me all the dimensions, they had told me the quantity, they had told me what sizes one, what design, and now Swami says that this will not be enough. It won't be sufficient. How could that be possible? And now he opens the bundles and opens every roll and he checks. And when he opens that fourth roll and he sees each roll there, he finds the first four are of the same color, same design. When he opens the fifth roll of the fourth set, he finds that the fifth roll is of the same design but of a different color. How could that be? Every set is supposed to have the same design and same color. And how did Baba know this? We didn't even open the rolls. This is something very strange. Anyway, we have to organize it. So all these workers now go to the canteen. They have the food. You had only South Indian canteen there, no Western canteen, 1975, no North Indian canteen. They are returning. They see Mr. Prasad and they tell him, Mr. Prasad, we are workers. No, we cannot work eating this food. You know, we just want to finish the work and in 24 hours we'll finish the work and we'll go and, you know, for the rest of the food sessions, you just give us money and, you know, we will go out and eat whatever we want. And Mr. Prasad didn't know what to say. He understood that people, they wanted to eat non-veg. The ashram, there is no non-veg. He could not really tell them anything. He said, okay, we will do something, you know, let's get started with the work. And they begin the work and suddenly Swami comes. And Swami says, how was the food? And the workers say, Swami, it was fine, it was fine. No, no, how was the food? He says, Swami, it was okay. Swami says, you are workers. How can you work eating this food? I will tell Kondal Rao, he was the ashram secretary, to give you how much ever money you want. You can go out and eat whatever you want. No, Swami, I mean, they were really stunned. I mean, we just spoke just 2 minutes ago while walking back from the canteen and this person seems to know that, oh my God, he's something else. And they say, no, Swami, no, Swami, we can manage with the canteen, Swami. We are happy with the canteen. He said, no, no, don't feel delicate about it. I will tell Kondal Rao, he will give you the money, whatever you want. You eat whatever you want. How can you work if you cannot eat well? Eat whatever you want. No, Swami, no, Swami, please, Swami. You know, now they are sort of, there's a bit of repentance. They know that they are in the presence of someone who's not ordinary. He says, no, Swami, please, Swami, we will eat whatever. Swami, we are happy with the canteen. He says, no, 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 don't worry, we'll make arrangement. No, Swami, we will eat in the canteen. Swami says, okay, as you wish, no problem. Then Swami calls Kondal Rao and Swami says, Kondal Rao, give them whatever they want in the canteen. Sweets, curd, milk, rasam, chapati, curry, how much ever they want, no restrictions, unlimited quantity, how much ever they want, you please give. And these people now start their work and they call up their owner in Bangalore and they said, no, we have very important work here. We want to do it well and we will come only once we complete it well. And they immediately order for the other roll that had not come, the different colors. They order the roll and the work is going on. In the evening darshan, when Bhagwan comes out, they see that there is this person who is kneeling down and talking to Swami. And when they look closer, they find that this is a very important man. They had actually done wallpaper in this person's house in Bangalore and know that he's a very, very important, influential person. And they are seeing that this man is bending down, almost kneeling down and talking to Swami. And they said, oh my God, even he is kneeling down. Sometimes, you know, even though we have our own experience, we want validation from a third person. And God arranges all that just for us. Just so that the cobwebs of doubt will disappear and faith will strengthen. And that is how these workers start the work. And in 5 days, they finished the work to their satisfaction. Even as they're completing the work, Swami is distributing clothes to the workers who were working for the Sarvadharma Stupa. And one of the workers comes to Mr. Prasad and says, will Swami give us also clothes? And he says, I don't know. You know, you're also working, but you're working for the Punich on the auditorium. Maybe Swami wants, Swami will give you. We never know. And Swami comes in half an hour and Swami says, I will give you clothes. But you know, today I was giving dhotis. They are all wearing dhotis. You wear shirt and pant, right? So I'll give you shirt and pant. I'm getting it from Bangalore. And Swami gifts them clothes and they go back to Bangalore, completely changed persons. When I look at the frame of mind of these workers when they came, oh, this Sai Baba, he talks to the rich and the popular. Oh, this Sai Baba, he has nothing to do with the common man. He doesn't care for people like us. It reminds me of Daksha Prajapati from the legend of Shiva and Sati. If you are familiar with Indian mythology, the story goes that Daksha Prajapati, the son of Brahma, wanted the divine energy principle to be born to him as his child, and that is how Sati is born as his daughter. And Sati, in the form of the human being as the daughter, has forgotten that she is the primordial Shakti. She behaves and lives like a daughter. It so happens that one day she sees Shiva and she decides that she belongs to Shiva. When she mentions this to Daksha Prajapati, Daksha Prajapati does not like, because Daksha Prajapati was a king. He had a lavish life. He was living in the palace with all the fine things. And Sati was a princess. And in Daksha Prajapati's mind, Shiva did not really fit to be in Sati's life, because he felt that Shiva wears ash over his body and he has a tiger skin and he has the snakes. And you look at Shiva, he's so disheveled, his matted hair, there is no personality. You know, how can he marry Sati? What's wrong with Sati? Why does Sati want Shiva? And look at Shiva, we don't know where is he. One day he's in the graveyard, one day he's in the mountains, one day he's in the jungle. Look at his companion, Shiva's army consisted of all kinds of beings. Gana, some could be two-leg, three-leg, four-leg, two-eyes, three-eyes. Everything about Shiva was a mystery. Because Shiva, Gunatitaya, Gunadharaya. Gunatitaya is beyond attributes. Shiva to me is the confluence of creation and the creator. Everything that you see in creation, the symphony of nature, you can find in Shiva. You can find in Shiva the bilwa leaf. You can find in Shiva the snake. You will find in Shiva the finest representatives of the flora and fauna. You can find in Shiva the fire. You can find in Shiva the water. You can find in Shiva the bull. You can find in Shiva the tiger. You will find in Shiva every opposite of creation. You will find in Shiva the diametrically opposite tenets of creation. You will find in Shiva the symphony of nature. But to Daksha Prajapati, everything about Shiva was weird. He does a Swayambara, a ceremony where he asks suitors for Sati, and to insult Shiva, Daksha Prajapati keeps a statue of Shiva outside the gates of that Swayambara ceremony. And Sati does not care about this whole ceremony. And she goes and takes the garland, and believing that that statue is Shiva, she puts the garland on Shiva. And her faith was so intense that Shiva instantly manifests there and accepts Sati. It's almost like Meera accepting the Lord as her own and ultimately melting into the Lord. And this angers Daksha even more, and now Daksha Prajapati, as the story goes, wants to insult Shiva So he conducts a yagna. He invites all the gods and demigods of the heavens, everyone important of the cosmos, and does not invite Sati and Shiva alone. And Sati feels very humiliated. How could this happen? How could Father do this to us? Sati says, we have to go there. And Shiva says, it's your father's home. If you want, you can go there, but I'm not invited, and it is definitely not proper to go to a place where you're not invited. You could be humiliated. It could be danger to your life. I don't think you should go. But Sati goes there, and once Sati reaches there, nobody talks to Sati because everybody is afraid of Daksha Prajapati. They know the hatred that Daksha Prajapati has towards Shiva. So they look at Sati with suspicion. Only the mother of Sati talks to Sati, that also in private. And Sati sees this whole acrimonious atmosphere there and confronts Daksha Prajapati. Sati questions Daksha Prajapati. He insults Shiva in the whole gathering, says, you are such a weird person. You want to have such an unruly, disheveled person as your partner. I disown you. I don't care. I don't like his character. And when he questions Shiva's character, Sati immediately says, there is no point me living because I cannot live to hear such abuse about my Lord. And she immediately jumps into the yagna fire. Immediately when Sati jumps into the fire, Surya Chandra Pralaya Agni Netra Dhara Shakti Sahita Shiva Natana Manohara Bhola Hara Bhola Shankara Bhola. So immediately Shiva is enraged, and Shiva takes a strand of his hair, throws down, and from the strand of hair emerge two attendants of Shiva, Veerabhadra and Mahakali, and they go and they destroy that yagnam. Finally, Daksha's head is on the foot of Veerabhadra, and that is when Daksha pleads for forgiveness. He understands his mistake. Daksha's head is cut off, but when he repents, because Shiva is ultimately Bhola Shankar Bhola, Shiva forgives. And just so that Daksha remembers the lesson, Shiva places the head of a goat on Daksha. And then the story goes that Sati is born again. And now Sati is the daughter of Himavat or the Himalayas. She is now called Parvati, daughter of Parvat. Parvat means mountain in Hindi. So she is the daughter of the mountains, and now she is in a very loving environment. The father loves Parvati. She is the apple of the father's eye. She is in such a beautiful environment. She is in the Himalayas, and she is in a place where she can contemplate on the Lord. She is in an ambience where everything is so divine. And when she comes of age, and she is very beautiful, and that's why she's called Gauri. Gauri means who is the color of snow. She is so resplendent. And now when Himavan, the father, thinks about her marriage, that's when Narada comes and says, Parvati's marriage is already destined. She is supposed to have Shiva in her life. And that is when Himavan thinks now, how to have Shiva, because Shiva is in the mountains and Shiva is always lost in meditation. And so she takes Parvati along with few of her playmates, and they go to the cave where Shiva is. The strategy is to be there, hang around there and try to serve Shiva and hopefully attract Shiva's attention by some way or the other. And they were confident that once Shiva looks at Parvati, then probably Shiva will change his mind and the marriage will happen. So that is how Parvati hangs on there, tries to do some things for Shiva, and constantly with that whole attention idea that somehow to attract Shiva's attention. And so many years pass, so many months, years pass, and nothing happens. Shiva is lost in his meditation. Even if he opens his eyes and sees, he doesn't care. You know, he's in a different world. People come and go. He doesn't care. So this was going on. And they thought something else has to be done. And that is when they take the help of Kamadeva, the god of so-called worldly love. Kamadeva fires arrows at Shiva. And when Kamadeva fires those arrows at Shiva, Shiva's meditation gets disturbed. Immediately when Shiva opens his eyes and he sees Parvati, and for a moment, Shiva's heart becomes weak and he feels attracted. How did this happen to me? And then immediately he sees that Kamadeva is there and he knows that this is because of the play of Kamadeva. And Shiva, in that moment of anger, opens his third eye and burns Kamadeva to ashes and banishes Parvati from there. Parvati goes back. And everyone says that there's no point trying to attain Shiva. He's somewhere else and he's lost. We have tried so many things. Nothing works. Give up Shiva. You know, try doing something. You can find anyone. You're so beautiful. You will find anyone else in your life. No, I want Shiva. I want Shiva. She leaves her family and she goes and she now is in a great penance. For years and years, she gives up food. She eats leaves and slowly she is not even eating a leaf. And that's why the name is Aparna. Aparna means one who is not even eating leaf. And she gives up eating. She lives on air and she starts doing this penance. And the penance becomes so intense. It comes to a point where the intensity of Parvati's penance is so high that everybody in the creation feel the heat. The gods feel the heat and she is going to overpower everyone with her intensity. She's doing her tapas with so much concentration. It could destabilize everyone. And now the heat reaches Shiva. And one fine day, in front of Parvati, comes this Brahmin. This Brahmin says, "What are you doing? Why are you in penance?" And Parvati says, "I want Shiva." "Why do you want Shiva?" "No, I love Shiva." "So why do you love Shiva? Shiva is completely not meant for you. Look at you and look at Shiva. Shiva has ashes all over his body. Shiva has no personality. Are you sure you want Shiva? You can be in the palace of anybody on earth. Any king will want to have you. Why do you want Shiva?" And she says, "No, I want Shiva. That is my goal." And then that Brahmin says, "But Shiva is so unkempt. Shiva is one without any character. He goes around." Immediately when he abuses Shiva, Parvati gets angry and Parvati says, "If you stay here for one moment longer, I will curse you. How dare you speak about Shiva like this? You have no business to be here." And when Parvati is about to curse that Brahmin changes into Shiva and Shiva accepts Parvati. So they say Shivaratri is that night when you can attain Shiva. It is that night when you can purify yourself. It is that night when Shiva apparently took the poison of the world and that's why you got Nilakantha. It is that night of union of the individual soul with the super soul. To me, in this story, just like every story of Indian mythology, what is Daksha Prajapati? Daksha Prajapati is that mind, the mind of the workers. I remember there was one student when he joined, he was from North India. Even though he had love for Bhagwan, he always had this doubt. How could a person be God? It cannot be. Okay, Swami is great. He's a great human being. He's a Mahatma, saint, but you know, he cannot be God. But Swami was talking to him. One day Swami called him inside. Swami called the entire family. And then Swami slowly sent the father, the mother, the brother. Only this boy was inside. And Swami said, "Tum sochta hai, Swami Bhagwan nahi hai. You think that Swami is not God, right?" I said, "No, Swami, no, I don't know, no, Swami. I'm not thinking, no, Swami. No, no. Tell me the truth. You are thinking Swami is not God." "No, Swami, no, Swami." I said, I know. Swami ko sab malum hai. I know. And Swami waves his hand. Swami creates a photograph of this boy On the last day of his 10th grade, he slipped out of school and he was behind a movie theater and he was smoking. So I showed him that picture. So this is our mind. In our limited mind, we try to understand God, and that's what happened to Daksha Prajapati. Daksha Prajapati, with his limited mind, was trying to understand Shiva, who is beyond all attributes. Kala, kalaya, kala, titaya, kala rupaya, namah Shivaya. Kala rupaya, namah Shivaya. So the mind, when it's trying to fathom the one who is beyond the mind, that is when doubts come. That is what happened to Daksha Prajapati. That is what happened to the workers initially. That is what happened to the student. That is what happens to so many. How can Swami, if he's God, be admitted in the hospital? How could Swami fall down and get a fracture? If he's God, why does he speak only Telugu? If he's God, why does he go in big cars? How could he talk to that person? That person is really such a nasty politician. He does not talk to this boy. He does not cure the child of this mother. This mother is crying piteously. He's going and curing the child of another man who tomorrow will go and do another scam. How can this person be God? That is the mind of Daksha Prajapati. That is the mind of all of us. Today we have strong faith. Tomorrow we think, no, it can't be. Yeah, maybe it is truth. A person cannot be God. Possibly, yes. That is the mind. What is Sati? Sati is the soul, the individual soul. Sati is that heart. The heart which longs for Shiva. Once Sati saw Shiva, all Sati wanted was Shiva. And nothing else. Unable to convince the mind, because the mind is trying to evaluate Shiva with his limited faculties. Swami says, can the fish ever gauge the might of the ocean? Can a fly ever understand profundity of the sky? Yet, we form our opinions, we pass our judgments, come to our ridiculous conclusions about divinity and his actions. So that is what Daksha Prajapati was doing. And what was happening? Sati, the individual soul, the heart, was getting tortured in the process. Because unable to balance, the heart wants the Lord. It is clear, but it is put to this torture by the mind, by all these people around, hundreds of muddled heads. You have to only follow the heart. If you listen to the mind will suck you in more and more. When KBR Prasad sir decided to come to Prashantilayam, he worked for 9 years in aeronautics and he was in a very good position. He was a senior scientist there. And one day casually Swami asked, you are coming to Prashantilayam? And Mr. Prasad took that so seriously, he went that day and resigned his job. He had 3 sons. They come from a very average family, agricultural family. And for the next 5 days, Swami used to look at the people in the veranda and says, this Prasad, mad fellow. See, he resigned his job. Anybody does like this? He has children. He was senior scientist there. He gave up his job. Mad fellow. Correct? Mad fellow? Correct? Swami kept telling every day, some VIP will come. Look at this Prasad. Resigned his job. No sense. But Prasad was, Swami, I want you, Swami. I want you. That's it. And Swami kept playing this game. And then, on the 5th day, Swami said, I know, you are coming here for your ananda. You are coming here for your happiness, the happiness that the heart seeks. I know. And then Swami gives him the chance to work in the university and He is the one who has been the instrument to amplify every discourse that Swami has given in Prashant Nilayam, in Vrindavan, right from 1975. He was Swami's chosen instrument to handle the public address system. While he put that instrument through which Swami's voice got amplified for 45 years, Swami chose him to amplify to everyone what it is to be a devotee of the Lord, what it is to want the Lord, to really love the Lord. Mr. Prasad continues even now to serve in the mandir. No one will know about, nor will he ever come and introduce himself. So that is what is happening with the individual soul, the sati. Sati is getting tortured by the mind and by Shiva. But sati chooses Shiva. And in the whole process, it comes to a point where she gives up herself, unable to manage the torture of the world. And that is what happens. Sometimes when you walk on the path of God, there will be so many people who will tell you so many things. How could you do this stupid decision? You come to Prashant Nilayam, and suppose after you shifted to Prashant Nilayam and your son fell ill, the whole world will say, we told you, don't go to Prashant Nilayam. See, now you are in problem. Who will take care of you now? You come to Prashant Nilayam and people are waiting to see something wrong to go in your life, and then they will say, see, you became a devotee of Baba. This is why it happened. We were telling you, don't be a devotee of Baba. That is what games that the mind will constantly play, and that is what sati, the individual soul, was going through. And it can be so torturous, it can be so difficult. When you walk on this path of wanting Shiva, it's not easy. It is not easy, because you want the highest. You don't just want ice cream, you want the nectar. So it's a little difficult, obviously. Ice cream you can get for 10 rupees. Nectar will not come even for $10 million. So in the whole process, sati had to go to the extent of even giving up herself. That should be the quality of love. Love should be willing to sacrifice. Water, when solidifies, is ice. Love, when it becomes concrete, becomes sacrifice. Do we have that kind of a love? If you say we love Swami. So what happened next? Sati was born again. And now in a very beautiful environment as Parvati. Sati was born in a place where the parents created an environment where she could love God. Sati was born in Kailasha, in the Himalayas. Sati was born in a place that was known for stillness. Sati was born in a very pure atmosphere. Earlier, she had very hostile parents, but now Parvati had such loving parents. It is because of the merit, it is because of the pining that she had for Shiva in the previous life, that she is now in an environment where she is facilitated to love God. And I think if we have the chance to be in Prashant Nilayam, to come to Prashant Nilayam. For us, Prashant Nilayam is that Kailasha, because here you have Sai Shiva. If you have had the chance to know about Swami, if you have had the chance to come to Prashant Nilayam, if you have the chance to love Swami, like Parvati was now wanting Shiva, if you have had this chance, it's because of the merits that we have accrued from our previous births. We have done something good, definitely. We always wanted God in our lives in some form or the other. We have definitely done some sacrifice. We have definitely done something which shows our intensity to have Him. And that's why destiny has put us in a space where we are introduced to Him early. We are experiencing Him. We are discovering Him more, where we are now in Prashant Nilayam. We are in Kailasha. We are with Shiva. And at the right time, how sage Narada came and told Parvati, don't go here and there. Your person is Shiva. Similarly, same thing happens to us. How do we come to Prashant Nilayam? We'll suddenly read a book. We'll suddenly see a movie. Suddenly we'll find someone who will tell. Just like that happened with KBR Prasad, sir. A villager came and said, you know, I want to see Swami. Can you please take me? So God will send His messengers. God will send at the right time, the right person will come and will help us in this process, because our intensity has always been that we want God. So Parvati gets this good environment now because of the merits of the previous birth. No sacrifice for love will ever go wasted. Nothing ever done for pure love will ever go in vain, because it is only pure love that has power in this universe. The universe spins because pure love vibrates. And so Parvati is in this lovely environment, just like we are in Prashanti. But having known Shiva, we having known Swami, what do? We are so mesmerized by his form. When Bhagwan's form was there, we are so mesmerized by his form, and we constantly think how to go near Swami. And so you had every person trying to do different things to have that physical moment with Swami. You have that Padnamaskaram with Swami, have a photograph with Swami. So if maybe, you know, I should take up that service project so that Swami will notice me. Maybe I should go and join the bhajan group so that Swami will see me. Maybe I should go and do that particular seva, because there is a likelihood that Swami will come for that event, and maybe I will get a photograph with Swami. So that is how most of our minds were thinking when Bhagwan was in the physical form. When we were students, that's what we were doing. Our whole purpose was what to do so that we can get a moment with Swami. We learned Vedam so that we can get a chance to be with Swami. While that was nice, while that was good, it was still external. We are trying to attain the Lord through externalities. And that is what Parvati was trying. Initially, she was just trying to get attention. That service that she was doing was not service with a genuine intent of service. It was service with an agenda, thinking that somehow if Shiva looks at my face, then everything is to be done. And what do? In these moments, we think this will work, this will work, this will work. We think, yeah, if we do service, when the service coordinator is watching me, if we do bhajans, when this other person who is the bhajan leader is there, if he is watching me, then, you know, I will get better prospects. So we keep looking at the superficialities. We think if I contribute to this project, there will be more noticed. So we go on doing this again and again, and these externalities, we get carried away, and that's what happened. And finally they got Kamadeva to disturb Shiva, and that is the height of superficiality. And that's what happens to us. Many times we get carried away. I remember there was one boy, it was a time when Swami was picking up students for Kodaikanal trip. And, you know, it was that time of the year, April month, exams are over and Swami has not yet gone to Kodaikanal. And you know that if you hang on, there is a possibility that Swami will pick you up to take you to Kodaikanal. This boy, how we get carried away? He thought, you know, if somehow I can cry during bhajans, you know, then Swami will take me to Kodaikanal. You know, we are all come from different backgrounds and with our own different samskaras. So one day, he confessed to me, he actually put glycerin. Bhajans were going on. Somehow he wanted to show Swami, you know, there are tears. And he achieved his purpose. He was part of the Kodaikanal trip. And so you think, oh, this works. You know, you think this doesn't work, this works. And Swami will play the game, you know, he will allow you. He'll allow you. Now, till that Kamadeva come, he'll burn to ashes. So same thing happened. So here this boy, he went to Kodaikanal. But in Kodaikanal, he didn't get a chance to, he was a singer, he didn't get a chance. Whenever he started to sing, Swami didn't like it, and it so happened, Swami was so upset with him, and everybody's wondering, what did he do? He didn't do anything wrong. He was singing nicely. For some reason, Swami is not happy with him. And it came to the point when we are returning back from Kodaikanal, all of us came in the plane, and Swami sent him and 2-3 other fellows in the car. So, if you take the path of superficiality, that is what will happen. And that is what many times happens to us also. And that's when we think, oh, how could Swami do this to me? Or, Swami offended me, you know, in front of everyone. Swami did this to me. How will everyone think? Everybody is going on the plane back to Parthi in flight and Swami did this to me. It's so cruel. It's so nasty. You can think 100 things. I don't want to have anything to do with Swami. You can think like that. But what did Parvati do? Parvati could have felt, how could Shiva do this to me? I was there serving him every day. I was getting water. I was cleaning his ashram. I was doing so many things for him. How could he banish me from there? How discourteous Shiva is merciless. He's absolutely no heart. The world also will tell the same. His father said, I told you, don't go to Shiva. You know, Shiva is like this. Everybody said, you go, you can be anyone else's. They will take you. You are so beautiful. But Parvati said, no, I want him. So what happened? She started her penance. Now she understood, you cannot get Shiva through externalities. Because Shiva is not Bahya Priya. He is Bhava Priya. Her penance started. And now she started seeing Shiva inside. And her penance became so rigorous. Her penance became so intense that everyone started feeling the power of her tapasya. Even Shiva could not contain himself. I remember when I completed my MBA, and I always thought that, you know, I will stay back and I will serve here. And I always sort of was confident that Swami will anyway give me a job. My brother was also close to Swami, and, you know, putting all that together, I thought anyway Swami is going to give me some job, so there's no problem. And that's how it happened. You know, I finished my education, I was in Vrindavan. The moment Swami looked at me, just 2 days after the vacations are over, and Swami says, what are you doing? I said, Swami, I'm here. He says, no, you should join. And I was like, oh God, I want some break. You know, I want to do something else. I don't want to get into a job so fast. You know, the job was coming. There are so many boys who are waiting for years together to get a job. There are boys who are waiting for 3 years, 4 years, 5 years. But somehow, you know, Swami was just giving me this job. And, you know, I was like, okay, Swami. And to be very frank, I was hiding my face from Swami, because for some time, you know, I just want to read. Just give me a break. I was that kind of mindset, unfortunately. And the moment Swami saw me again in Parthi, he said, no, you come. And he immediately put me to the job. And I got the training. And, you know, I started working in the Bangalore hospital. And it was 1 year I was there and everything. And then suddenly at the end of 1 year, I fall sick. And I fall sick so terribly that I'm out of job. Not for a week, not for 2 weeks, not for 3 weeks, not for 2 months, not for 6 months. I'm out of job for a whole year. I recover from my illness. He doesn't give me a job. I keep praying and praying and praying. No job. He will keep talking. He'll inquire about my health, but no job. And at that age, a young age, you feel so terrible. You know, at the age you want to work. And he's not giving you a job. You cannot go out because you need permission for that. And it's not nice. He says, I will give, and he does not give. And it continued and continued. 1 year passed, 1 year, 6 months passed, 2 years passed, no job. And I remember those were the months, those were the days when every day I would just spend all my time in prayers and prayers. Whole day was spent only in crying and praying. I'll go to the darshan, come back and cry and sleep. Go to the evening darshan, come back, cry and sleep, hoping that maybe he will come in the dreams and promise me a job. And next morning when he goes, he'll give me a job, and it won't happen. And it won't happen. It won't happen. And it just won't happen for 3 years. Three and a half years, no job. And I cried. And there were no more tears left. Asking Swami, please give me a job. And finally, when he gives me, it is the best thing that could have happened to my life. He gives me a job which wakes me up every day with joy. He gives me a job which unleashes my potential. He gives me a job where every day is a celebration. He gives me a job where every day I can think of him, talk about him, read about him, sing for him. So if you take it for granted that you can attain the Lord just like that, not that I've attained the Lord, but I'm just saying that prayer works. So when Parvati did that penance, every time the Lord will test, not because he wants to know what is your potential. He wants to let you know where you stand. He anyway knows what is our caliber. So only when Parvati comes out in flying colors in the test that Shiva accepts Parvati. Every devotee goes through that phase. Once you are in Prashanti Nilayam, you have to go through that process of penance. You have to go through that process of tests. If only we treat these tests as testimonies of His love, will we experience the triumph of love. To like someone is to possess that person. When we like someone, we want to possess that person, we want to possess that thing. But to love someone is to proffer, is to give. When Prasad sir came to know about Swami, when he knew this is the God, he said, I want to give myself. I want to give myself everything. I don't care even if I have 3 children. And Swami took special interest in the Ishwarama school. There was no school at that point in time. The higher secondary school was not there. His 3 children studied in Ishwarama school, and Swami made special arrangements for his 3 children to be given special classes in English. And they turned out to be gold medalists. One of them works in the Central Trust. He's a gold medalist. Again, someone very unassuming. No one will ever know about him. When we like, we expect, we want Swami to do this for us. We want, how did Swami not do this for me? I want Swami to do this for me. But when we love, we accept. We accept anything. They were living with 3 children, and Mr. and Mr. Prasad were living in East Prashanti in one of the tiniest rooms for so many years. I said, how did you manage? He said, no, I was very happy. There is no problem. No problem. He said, you have had such a rigorous schedule, because he has to always be there before the darshans in the morning. He's the person who will go last. For 45 years, he has done that diligently. Never missed to be in the mandir before Swami comes. And if you know how Bhagwan was, his uncertainty was, if he came one day at 3 o'clock, another day he can come at 2:45, another day he can come at 2:30, another day he can come at 1:30. You never know. But never he missed one day to be when Bhagwan came, because when Swami comes, he has to put the music. You don't expect. When his son met an accident in the US, and everyone said, go and tell Swami. He's in coma. He knows. There's no need. Didn't go and tell Swami anything. Swami sent Vibhuti, and Swami arranged it in such manner that it reached his son. And when his son's wife took the Vibhuti and went to the ICU and gave the Vibhuti, suddenly the doctor says, don't know what happened. What did you do? He's saying something that doctors recorded. He said, after you went, suddenly he started saying something, and he was singing something. And when they heard that player, music player, you know what he was singing? Govinda Gopala Prabhu Giridhari, Govinda Gopala Hridaya Vihari. The doctor says, I don't know. He keeps singing this, and he keeps saying that he wants to go to Prashanti. We don't know what the place is. So when we like, we expect. When we love, we accept. Everything unquestioningly. When we like, we want to be pampered. Swami should give me a watch. Swami should give me this. Or this person should do this for me. Do that. But when we love, we are purified. And that's what happened to Parvati. And that is what happens to every soul who truly loves the Lord. Look at the life of every saint. Because they loved the Lord, they rose in purity into heights of sublimity, merging in divinity. And that is the last. When we like, we want to be with each other. We want to enjoy each other. But when we love, there is no other. There is no other. Sati merged with Shiva. Parvati became half of Shiva. That is what love can do. If you look at the life of Bharata, when Bharata asked Rama to come back, and in the arguments that follow, King Janaka says that yes, Bharata wins because Bharata's love is greater than Rama following his dharma. Then finally Rama says, yes, Bharata, your love is greater than me following my duty, but I am asking you to love me. Please love me so that I can do what I want to do. To love is to not think about what makes me happy. To love is to think about what makes the other person happy. So Rama says, this will what make me happy if I'm in the forest and if I undergo this 14 years. And Bharata says, fine. Bharata also lives that same ascetic life that Rama led in the forest. There was no reason for Bharata to lead that ascetic life. He could have gone back to the palace and ruled the kingdom and waited for 14 years. But look at that love. If my beloved is going through such a difficult time in the forest, how could I live in the palace? I will also lead that kind of a life. And that is the reason why when Rama comes back, Swami says that people were not able to distinguish between Bharata and Rama. Both were looking so alike. And that's why Bharata had to fall at the feet of Rama so that the other people will know that, oh, this is Bharata and this is Rama. So to love is to see no other. And that is the journey of Sati. That is the journey of Parvati. That is the journey of every individual soul who comes to Prashanti, which is the Kailasha, where resides Sai Shiva.
Oh. Samastaloka Sukhino Bhavantu. Samastaloka Sukhino Bhavantu. Samastaloka Sukhino Bhavantu. Shanti, shanti, shanti.